Radio Network.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
You know who that is, don't you? Dolly Parton? Hey, she's still going strong. She's about 77 years old. And in amazing shape. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Hey, I'm in amazing shape. So is Big Ed Davis, my buddy and partner here. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, May the 10th. As we wander, not Friday, May the 10th, what am I talking about? It's Monday, May the 13th. I've got old info here. Let's make it Monday, May the 13th, indeed. And we got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Howard Beals. He is the professor emeritus at George Washington University. We're going to talk with Howard about a report that he co-authored on changing the policies of the Federal Trade Commission. He feels they have lost their way. I cannot wait to talk with him about it. And Michael Cohen has taken the witness stand today. He's testifying right now as we speak in the trial of Donald Trump in New York, the hush money trial. We are going to give you the latest updates and commentary on that. Stay tuned for that as well. And Secretary of State Anthony Blinken delivers the strongest rebuke yet by the Biden administration to Israel on that war with Hamas. We're going to give you all the details on that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we got a good one, the top 10 most dangerous states in America. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, Ed and I both recommend Andrew's. We both go there. It is a great haircut, great ambiance, great people, great price. Everything is good about it. By the way, they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. They're closed today, Monday. But call first, please, for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with the tree, ArborLife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, Ed, I'm looking up at the screen here. We have a monitor, and we put on the news there. And I guess Michael Cohen has finally taken the witness stand in the Donald Trump hush money trial. His testimony is apparently central to the case against Trump, as he is alleged to have been the top go-between for Trump and the hush money payments that went to the great Oscar-winning actress Stormy Daniels. Oh, no, I guess she didn't win an Oscar. But anyway, the actress, Stormy Daniels. I think, was she a stripper at any time, Ed?
Yeah.
Well, stripper and actress.
Those are mean. Well, they call it adult actress.
Adult actress. Yeah. There you go. You know, I've always thought that it's funny when they say this is adult content, and it turns out that adult content is nothing but nasty,
swearing,
dirty pictures. That's supposed to be adult content?
Mm-hmm.
Then what's child's content? Anyway, so he's on the stand. He appeared visibly nervous as he walked up to the stand. Prosecutors began by asking him about the family history and other innocuous topics.
Well, first you got to start with swearing in.
Yeah,
because when you I'm surprised to tell the truth, and when he says yes, I would have to come back with, are you sure?
Yeah, right. Well,
this time?
I would have been surprised if the Bible hadn't leapt from his hands and flew out of the courtroom, if you want to know the truth.
He did get caught lying, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, he did.
In fact, I think he's a professional liar, yep, according to many people. So you know that once the defense gets their hands on him, they're going to start pounding him about all of the things that he said under oath. He's a perjurer, too. Mm. He said things under oath before that turned out not to be true. So anyway, he's up there, and right now he's in, I guess you would call it, friendly hands. The prosecution is trying to, I guess they're trying to rehabilitate him.
What if he flips?
Wouldn't that be something?
Right on the stand.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump knew nothing about this.
No, Mr. Trump's great. He was my favorite employer. Mm. He was terrific. And he paid me very well, too. So, of course, prosecutors are using Cohen as their lead witness. Mm. This is the guy.
He's the star.
We'll see how that goes, right? So this means that the prosecution is nearing the end of its witness list, at which point lawyers for Trump will present the main thrust of their defense. The only thing they're doing now is questioning these prosecution witnesses. They haven't started their own defense. Now, Trump has pled not guilty to 34 counts of falsifying business records in relation to his alleged hush money payments that were made to Stormy Daniels. So, anyway, we'll see how all of that goes. Meantime, did you see any of that? Donald Trump had a terrific turnout in New Jersey over the weekend. I think it was on, was it on Saturday that he had it? He had a massive beach rally. Critics of President Biden are lambasting his beach vacation in Delaware while contrasting it to Trump's massive beach rally. Or I should say massive rally in Wildwood, New Jersey. I'm not even sure where Wildwood is, but it was on Saturday night. At least 80,000 people attended Trump's rally. That's pretty good, isn't it, for New Jersey? He got 80,000 people on a Saturday night in New Jersey. That's pretty good. In fact, some people said he had up to 100,000 people that showed up.
And did you notice something about the crowd?
Did I notice something about it?
I didn't see one mask.
No, I didn't think about it.
I didn't see any looting.
No.
I didn't see any people being rude.
No vandalism.
Wow.
No. They were well behaved. They were enjoying themselves. They had their little signs and their hats. I mean, it was very refreshing. You know, my sister once told me this, my sister Lisa, who attended a few, I would call them conservative rallies out in California.
Right.
She said the difference between them and liberals is that conservatives, when they leave, they clean the place up. They actually don't leave a mess. When liberals...
Yeah, look at the trash.
No, the trash. I'm not kidding about that.
Oh, yeah.
If you think about it, there is something about conservatives, they just seem to be a neater group.
Well, it's called organized.
Yeah. I think it's more personal responsibility, yeah, too.
Where's all those crazy MAGA people? I saw a bunch of red hats.
That's right.
I mean, you can spot them, they're MAGA people.
They seem to be having an awfully good time. Trump was exhorting the cameras to turn around and show how vast. They didn't do it.
No, of course not.
He said, they won't do it, of course, because they don't want to show you how many people have shown up here. He said, I can't even see the end of the crowd. He said, there's so many people here. So it bodes well if you believe that energy, you know, seems to be on Trump's side as opposed to Biden, who apparently, at the same time that was going on, I think Biden was hiding somewhere on a beach area in Delaware, but that's the way it goes. It says here, as of last fall, Biden was on course to spend about 40% of his presidency on vacation.
He was at a fundraiser. That's right, he was in a fundraiser.
Yeah, but did you hear that? 40% of his presidency? 40%?
Hmm.
has been on vacation.
Wow.
As opposed to Trump, who spent about 26% of his time outside of Washington, D.C., and that included things that were not vacation. So there you go. Let's take our break. I cannot wait to talk with Howard Beals and his report that he co-authored about achieving change at the Federal Trade Commission.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's Monday. Thank you so very much for joining us. We are delighted to have Howard Beals join us. He is a professor emeritus of strategic management and public policy at George Washington University, and he co-authored a piece with Timothy Muris called Achieving Change at the Federal Trade Commission. Howard, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely our pleasure. I was fascinated with the piece that you wrote about the Federal Trade Commission and its history, as a matter of fact. You make the comment that it was created in the, I believe, the Woodrow Wilson administration, and it fulfilled one of his promises at that time. And I think the Securities and Exchange Commission actually sprang from the FTC as well. So would you say that the Federal Trade Commission initially was a goodly intentioned agency?
It was certainly well intentioned, and for most of its early history, it was not very productive. This is the third era of major change at the FTC. The first happened in 1968. After the 1968 election, the commission at that point was known as the Little Old Lady of Pennsylvania Avenue because the cases that it brought were all essentially trivia. It wasn't doing anything of substance. There was a Ralph Nader report that condemned the commission. There was a report from the American Bar Association that echoed those same criticisms. And that led the Nixon administration to make substantial changes. They reorganized the commission. They focused more on what was the prevailing wisdom about what the commission ought to be doing. And in their first 2.5 or 3 years, they really achieved substantial reform of the agency and put it on a much more productive path. Unfortunately, that put they also ignored changing advice from both economists about what kinds of cases they should be bringing and from courts about what kinds of cases they could be bringing, and that led to overreach. The commission tried to become the second most powerful legislature in Washington. It became known, instead of the little old lady, it became the national nanny. And that led to another wave of change after the 1980 election. At that point, the FTC developed a more modest but vastly more productive strategy that formed the basis for a bipartisan consensus about what the agency should be doing that lasted for 40 years. The Biden administration thinks that was all a big failure, despite the fact that this is an internet, the FTC was a highly respected competition enforcement agency on an international basis. In fact, it was the only competition agency that received a 5-star rating every year from the time the rating started in 2001 until the Lena Khan administration took the FTC out of the ratings. Wow. Likely they wouldn't have done so well.
Wow.
But the Khan administration is a new attempt at major change that so far has been much less successful and hasn't really developed a strategy for how to achieve the kinds of changes that it seems to want.
In fact, it's been very active, but as you say at the top of your piece, never mistake activity for achievement. John Wooden, the greatest college basketball coach of all time, from his lips. And I was thinking, boy, was he right about that. So there's lots of activity going on right now under Lena Khan. I'm kind of scared about what she's been trying to do. It seems like she's been trying to find, I don't know, all kinds of monopolies that she wants to dismonopolize, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I mean, what she'd like to do, and what the Biden administration would like to do, is fundamentally restructure the economy to get rid of large corporations that they see as the source of many problems. Unfortunately, current antitrust law just won't allow that. Where the FTC has pursued cases on new or, in some cases, 50-year-old theories that courts have long ago rejected, it has been unsuccessful, and it has no real strategy for how it might achieve what it wants.
Yeah, and, well, we could go on and talk forever about government bureaucrats who think they know better about what's good for our country when it comes to businesses and how those businesses should be regulated. I remember Milton Friedman once saying that the only entity that can create a real monopoly is the federal government. If you allow these businesses on their own to exist, generally speaking, they will do what is best for themselves and do what is best for the consumer. Because they are out to stay in business and at the same time make a product that the consumer wants to purchase. But you get, and the ones that do very well and rise to the top have a lot of, if you allow the free market to work, they will have a lot of competitors and people and companies that will imitate what they're trying to do and try and make a better mousetrap than they have, which in the long run is good. It's good for the consumer, is it not?
No, I think that's exactly right. I actually took a class from Milton Friedman in my graduate school days.
Wow!
He had the same message for his students. Competition is the most effective way to protect consumers, because if businesses get it wrong, there is an immediate market pressure from other companies to try to make improvements. When the government gets it wrong, we're stuck.
How right he was. How right that guy was. He's one of my heroes, by the way. I'm so glad you had the opportunity to even walk in his presence. But he was, and he was such a nice, he tried to explain things. He made common sense. Remember that Free to Choose series that he ran? Oh, my goodness. I think it was back in the 80s. And then he wrote a book on it with his wife. But anyway, getting back to the Federal Trade Commission and Lina Khan, they never took a course from Milton Friedman. That I know. They just don't seem to understand, it seems to me. And maybe some of it is political. I'm sure it is. Many are saying that what Lina Khan and the Biden administration is trying to do here before November is to make it as hard as possible for the Trump administration to come in and do a good job when it comes to our economy.
Well, I think with a lot of the rulemaking in other agencies, that's absolutely true. At the FTC, which and they proposed a number of rules at the FTC that have the potential to do major damage. The rulemaking process is slow enough at the FTC, however, that they're not going to be done before the next administration.
Okay. Yeah.
Those rules are mostly going to carry over. Now, some right. they've already adopted, like the rule on covenants not to compete. But for that rule, it has been challenged, they almost certainly do not have the legal authority for that rule.
Right.
They're relying on a 50-year-old case that legal scholars say is no longer the valid law.
Yeah. Now we're talking, just for the listener, we're talking about the non-compete agreements that businesses
That's
have
right.
their employees sign, so that when the employee might leave for a certain period of time in certain businesses, they do not allow them to work in that particular industry because of the trade secrets that they picked up, et cetera, et cetera. So it's called a non-compete agreement. You can't, for a certain period of time, you can't go running over to the to your competitor, you know, bringing all of the info that you had from that company. And so did the FTC and Lina Khan, did they try to overturn the non-compete agreement?
They tried to ban them in all cases. Now, there are certainly instances where non-compete agreements can be misused in a way that really
sure.
disadvantages workers. And in those cases, typically, state courts have been reluctant to enforce the agreement. And the law varies state by state. The FTC rule says nobody ever, under any circumstances, can use non-compete clauses unless it's the top management of the company.
Indeed. We're talking with Howard Beals. He is the Professor Emeritus of Strategic Management and Public Policy at George Washington University. And we're talking about the efforts to achieve change at the Federal Trade Commission. Do you think if a new administration comes in next year, and of course Lina Khan and her group will not be in position, correct? So the new president will bring in his own people. Is there a good chance that they will change direction on the philosophy of the FTC as it stands right now?
And almost certainly. And the longstanding consensus in antitrust law has been built around the consumer welfare standard. The idea that the reason for antitrust laws is to make life better for consumers. And when business practices improve consumer welfare, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. The Khan FTC rejects the whole notion that consumer welfare ought to be controlling. They'd like to preserve businesses simply for the sake of preserving businesses, even if they're not doing a good job of satisfying consumer preferences, and even if they cost more than alternatives would.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Howard, it was a great piece. I remand people to the Competitive Enterprise Institute's website, where you can find the CEI blog that he co-authored with Timothy Muris, Achieving Change at the Federal Trade Commission. Thank you so very much for joining us, Howard.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
It was our pleasure. Keep up the good work. Howard Beals. All right, sir. Howard Beals. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken delivering the strongest rebuke yet by the Biden administration to Israel in its fight with Hamas. We will give you all the details.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And guess what? Trump's New York trial, not the only trial going on in Manhattan. Jury selection has started today in the trial of Senator Bob Menendez. Good old, honest Bob Menendez, Democrat from New Jersey. He's facing his second federal corruption trial in a decade. Jury selection scheduled to begin. This time, the charge is related to that he acted to benefit the governments of Egypt and Qatar. The 70-year-old New Jersey Democrat and his wife, accused of accepting bribes from three wealthy businessmen, a real estate developer, Fred Davies, also Jose Uribe and Lyle Hanna. He accepted money from them in his home state, performing a variety of favors in return, including meddling in criminal investigations and taking actions benefiting the governments of Egypt and Qatar. Charges, if he's found guilty, he could be sentenced for life.
Where is he being prosecuted?
Manhattan.
Oh, we're going to shut down the rest of Manhattan now, and let's go for that real quick. Hurry up. Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
So that one's going on, but of course it's being overwhelmed right now by our friend Donald Trump's hush money trial. And I guess Cohen is still testifying on that one. It'll be very, very interesting to see how he'll be on the witness stand for a couple of days.
He's a shady character. I keep seeing more and more of him, of his little antics online and stuff, trying to sell T-shirts and whatnot.
Wow. Yeah, have you ordered one yet?
No.
Okay. By the way, maybe our buddy Andrew the Master Barber would be interested in ordering a Michael Cohen T-shirt. Andrew, are you excited about the fact that Michael Cohen is on the witness stand testifying this morning?
I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be him when Trump's lawyers get a hold of him.
I know.
How reputable can he be? He's in jail for lying, perjury, stealing, everything. You think he's a Democrat?
And the funny thing is, he apparently has not been muzzled by the judge. He can talk and do all kinds of things. Isn't he on TikTok doing stuff?
You know, Paul, they're going to have to talk up all their crap and keep Trump quiet. Because did you see that crowd of almost 100,000 people?
Well, of course I was
going to. If I was that judge, and I would be afraid to turn my back.
And they had close to 100,000 people, possibly, at that.
That's right.
That rally, and that was in New Jersey. That was right. Wildwood, New Jersey. That was fantastic. I was watching it. You made sure I was watching it. You called me a couple times to make sure I was watching it, and I was watching it. It was very, very interesting. And Trump, He's just a great showman. Let's be honest. They just—I was watching the crowd. Ed and I were talking. Ed and I were just—you know—before you came on earlier in the show, we were talking about how great the crowd was. They behaved well. You know, they were waving their sign. I don't know. They're the kind that I feel very comfortable in their midst. You know.
I hope that the Trump team for the presidential ads and stuff use that and say, look. And then I would really say, run a piece where it says, you know, Biden saying those MAGA people are crazy. Pelosi says the MAGA people are crazy. This guy said MAGA people are crazy, and show them.
Yeah.
There wasn't one crazy person out there.
They're terrific people. They're down-to-earth people. They look like true Americans. They're wearing their red hats, and they got their MAGA shirts, and they're waving their signs. And I'll tell you what, as I said earlier, my sister went to a rally very similar to that. It was not a Trump rally, but it was some years ago. And she said the difference between going to a conservative rally like that, going to a liberal rally, is that the conservatives leave the place in one piece when they exit, as opposed to what you'll find at a liberal rally.
That's very simple, Paul. Did you ever drive down the road and look at somebody who's got a Biden sticker on their car, what their car looks like?
Yes.
Okay, they're all trash. You ever live next to a liberal? I have. Their house is trash.
You know,
okay, that's just the way they are. That's the way they're brought up. They're slobs.
You know what? All of this reminded me when you took me to a Trump rally a couple of years ago, and you remember, and when we got there, there were people from the rally that were standing there on the side of the road with their Trump signs, and how all the people that were driving by were honking their horns. You remember that? We had a grand time.
Yes, I do.
And
yes, I do.
But everybody there was so nice. It wasn't a mess. You know, everybody picked up after themselves. I don't know. It just, you felt good about it.
Let's face the facts, Paul. Trump has drawn almost 100,000 people. If Biden was to have a rally tomorrow, you can get an old phone booth and fit the people in it.
Yeah. Well, he's
they would show up.
He went home again for a rest and relaxation, apparently, and it was showed up on a beach in Delaware somewhere. Paul, that's about it with him. Why is he out campaigning?
Biden will not be their nominee.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that think you're right about that.
We're running out of time.
Yeah, he won that. I say he's going to be Mr. Hollywood, Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, a lot of people believe that.
He's just as good as Biden.
Yeah, or just as bad as Biden.
It ain't going to happen. Well, yep.
I say, or just as bad as Biden. I think you may be right about that. In other words, they're going to pull a fast one at the Chicago convention in August, right?
Oh, August.
Yeah, but I had Ron's father over my house yesterday. And he's saying now that Ron won't be the vice.
I just wanted to make sure everybody knew who you're talking about. Ron DeSantis. And you had the father of the governor, Ron DeSantis, over. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he was saying, he goes, Ron will not be his VP. And I looked right at him and I says, Ron, you're going to get ready to eat your words. And I'm thinking Ron is going to be the VP. When they're saying it's somebody you'd least expect. Okay, and
yeah.
He keeps talking about the, it's going to be Ron.
You may be right. I don't see that happening, go ahead.
The old man says he wouldn't take that position. Maybe if it was a different nominee, he might take it. I said, let me tell you something. If your son gets offered the vice presidency, he better take it.
By the way, I want to put in a word for Ron Sr., who I consider a nice friend, too. He is a lovely man. It's just a joy to be around, and loves his son, and is very, 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 you know, stands up for what his son believes in, and I salute him as well. But I would be surprised if Ron Jr. becomes the nominee. I would be just about as surprised if it was Ron Jr. as I would be if it's Kristi Noem at this point. I'm afraid the Kristi Noem animal.
I'm going to tell you this one.
All right.
Kristi Noem shot her dog.
Yes.
Ron DeSantis Jr. got a dog 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And now he got another one Saturday, so he's got two dogs.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they're priming the pump.
No, he's going to be very nice to his dogs. I think Kristi Noem has shot her way out of contention for being the vice president at this point, because there are going to be a lot of Kristi Noem, dog counselor jokes that are going to be brought up in the next few months.
If you listen to Trump's speech the other day, he made so much sense. He hit it out of the park. Look what he just said about if there's any of these colleges or anybody bringing Judy or jihadism and anti-Semitism, they will be deported right away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, the guy made sense about everything he talked about. He said the fall of our government is going to come from within. And look at the squad. Come on.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about... the Trojan horse. I mean, he's 100% right, this guy.
Donald Trump knows how to strike a chord within the soul of people. And that's, I think, the key. They will look past, you know, some of his personal traits because they like what he has to say.
You know,
I like what he has to say. I look past some of his personal traits because I think this guy is a doer and he knows what people want. And he knows a way to get what people want.
Donald Trump loves America. Look what all he's putting on the line to try and save it. Like mm-hmm. I said, if any other one of us were in his position, we would have said, see you people a long
exactly.
time ago, take our money and go have a good time.
Exactly.
This guy loves
exactly.
the country, and people are beginning to see it. They also see the Democrats are destroying this country, okay? You see Netanyahu, he didn't care. He didn't care what Biden said, did he? He still went after Rafah, and he's going after them,
yes.
with or without Biden's help, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, back to
and
that.
Then Biden, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, back to that big rally over the weekend, 100,000 people. You didn't see one protester there, did you?
One of those Middle East protesters.
I don't think I'd want to be somebody at a Trump rally making fun of.
They'll demask him right on the spot.
You're right.
But you know what, though? The Trump people wouldn't even bother them. They would try to convince
them. That's true.
Him.
They wouldn't hurt anybody. They're there to have a good time.
They wouldn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
They wouldn't hurt anybody. You won't see them walking around with black hoods on, hiding their faces all dressed in black. They're not afraid to show who they are. They're proud. They're proud Americans.
Antifa didn't get the memo on that, I guess, on that rally.
I want to, and you alluded to Netanyahu, Andrew. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken yesterday delivered one of the Biden administration's strongest rebukes of Israel and the way they're handling the war right now. During a pair of TV interviews, Blinken said the U.S. wants Israeli forces to get out of Gaza amid what he described as a horrible loss of life of innocent civilians. He also said, Blinken said, Israel's tactics in the war have failed to neutralize Hamas and could create a power vacuum in the Palestinian territory. Here's my question. What in the hell is the Biden administration thinking to go around and say that when they aren't
thinking, Paul.
They're not thinking
they
at all.
They are not thinking.
I mean, it's like they're doing, leave Netanyahu and Israel to whatever they need to do to save themselves from people that want them destroyed. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything.
Let me tell you something. If what happened in Israel, or in Gaza at that concert, happened in the United States, and Joe Biden didn't go after them to destroy whoever did it.
That's correct.
They would have strung him up. The American public would have strung him up.
Yeah, it would have been a huge outcry. You're right. You're absolutely right. And so, you know, the U.S. is withholding, apparently, it says here, when asked about the U.S. withholding high payload bombs to Israel, Blinken said, we believe two things. One, you have to have a clear, credible plan to protect civilians, which we have not seen. Second, we also need to see a plan for what happens after the conflict in Gaza is over. And we still haven't seen that because what are we seeing right now? We're seeing parts of Gaza that Israel has cleared of Hamas, where Hamas is coming back. And anyway, so why don't you go over there and fight the war, Blinken? I mean, if you've decided that they're doing it the wrong way, come on, man. They're trying to, they're fighting for their lives. Does everybody forget what 1,200 people were killed in the most horrible way at a festival?
As Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, these Democrat administrations are nothing but a bunch of sissy boys.
Yeah, you're being kind.
They have no idea how to pretend. I'm surprised Joe Biden hasn't been on television yet, dressed up in Arab garb, holding up a Palestinian flag.
God. Okay. Oh, God.
I'm surprised they're going to try to do that one yet. Yeah, rest assured. Or maybe he should have showed up at a college graduation dressed up as a Palestinian.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter? He talks high. Why doesn't he just go all the way?
Oh my goodness.
I told you, he thinks he's going to get the Arab votes and the Jewish American votes, because no matter what he does to the Jewish Americans, he thinks they're going to vote for him.
I don't think he's going to get either.
I think he might be wrong this time.
I think he's going to be wrong. And I think you and I've talked about this. I think that Jewish people are crazy if they vote for Biden. I mean, to see what's going on about it. They just can't, you know, with common sense, you wouldn't vote for him. I mean, really.
I can tell you this one. If this would have happened in Italy, that they got attacked like that, okay, I can guarantee the Italian people would have been attacking whoever it was.
Of course.
They wouldn't have rolled over and played dead. And the American-Italian people are 100% American and believe in America. There are a few, don't get me wrong, but I'm embarrassed of them.
I want to bring up one other thing real quickly here. This is kind of good news for our border situation, possibly. The incoming president of Panama, just got elected, has vowed to make big changes to help alleviate the U.S. border crisis. This is Jose Raul Molino. He's the new Panama president. He vowed to shut down a crucial migration gap through Panama that's been used by more than 500,000 migrants over the last year. This signals a shift in Panama's policy as the U.S. continues to battle a crisis at the southern border. He says Panama and our gap, it's called the Darien Gap, by the way, are not a transit route. It's our border. It's kind of nice to hear some other country, you know.
I don't know what the big deal is. These just nice people want to come over here and work. And they're staying at some radio show host's house over here. And, you know, just give them a chance.
Yeah,
our nation was built on that.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
You're calling it a war at the border. It's not a war. Biden's letting them all come in.
That's true.
There's no war going on.
It's not a war whatsoever. It's just an open
He's
border.
Them.
Yeah.
He's greeting them with credit cards, cell phones, new clothes, a place to stay, a free bus ride anywhere you want to go.
Don't forget a plane ride.
He's not doing nothing.
This is why I can't believe that the polls are so close. You would think that anybody with common sense wouldn't. Would say, are you nuts? I'm not going to vote for Biden.
Well, then you got to realize if he's at 40% or 38%, that's proven to you that 38% of the American public is stupid.
Yeah.
They're uneducated, stupid, or they're overeducated, okay? Because the overeducated ones are all liberal.
Or they really
so
don't want to.
Which ones.
Or they just can't stand the, you know, free market, capitalistic independence of our country.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney, because they're the first ones to go grab the money.
Yes. Yeah, you may be right. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you so very much, my friend, for coming on.
You guys have a good day.
Okay, we'll talk, I hope, on Wednesday with you.
You got it, buddy.
All right.
Talk to you later.
The Master Barber, Andrew. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 most dangerous states in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works today, Monday. So glad that you're joining us. We're here, by the way, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But thanks to Big Ed, if you cannot listen live or you don't want to listen live or something's taking its place live, you can go to our website at any time, day or night. Click on OurFreedomWorks.com or type in OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And when you get to the website, click on the podcast button at the top. Big Ed's got all our shows right there for you. You'll see the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. You'll also see what our top 10 is. All the shows are there. You can listen at your leisure. You can pause it. Take a bathroom break, go grab a cup of coffee, whatever, come back and listen to the rest of it. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. Hey, here's one more reason, Ed, why we're happy that we're not in California. According to a little-known state air quality regulatory report, a longstanding emissions reduction program may lead to a 50-cent increase in gas prices within 2 years in the Golden State. The Air Resource Board there, that's their primary environmental regulator, says that gas prices may rise next year by about 50 cents a gallon and every year thereafter to aid in clean air efforts. Can you imagine if that's the case, how much it's going to cost you for a gallon of gasoline there? Everybody's going to, this is a great way to get everybody back to bicycles, you know?
Well,
I guess it's a great way maybe to clear off all of those expressways in California that are so clogged.
California is one of those states that wants to get rid of gas-powered cars altogether, remember?
Yeah.
Remember, they want the sales of them to stop by 2032, whatever it is.
I don't know, but I think the rickshaw and the bicycle business is going to...
Heck with that. Bring out the horses.
Get the horses back. It's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I wanted to check in with you and see how our beloved... I've been watching, even though our beloved Lightning are no longer in the playoffs, I've been watching, in particular, I've been watching the Florida Panthers, who are now up 3-1 with the Boston Bruins. And that's
really?
Kind of an interesting series. I just thought I would mention that. The Panthers are the team that beat took the Lightning out of the playoffs. But turning to baseball, how was the weekend for our beloved Tampa Bay Rays?
They lost 2-3.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Against the Yankees?
Yep.
Oh. We're disappointed
in
that.
Was it convincing? I don't think it was Saturday. They won 7-2,
uh-huh.
But then they lost last night 10-5, 10-6.
Okay, and so, I think you had mentioned that the Yankees are a fairly good team this year.
Yeah, they're like 26-15 or something.
Okay,
they're like 12 games over 500.
Okay,
so
do you know who what's the strongest team right now in the American League? Is it the Yankees?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, it is time now for our top 10, and this is. Actually, we did one the other day on states involving U.S. News and World Report. This time, though, we're going to talk not about the best states, but the most dangerous states in America. These states rank the worst for public safety based on violence and property crime. Okay? Those are the two things that they based this survey on. So without further ado, top 10 most dangerous states in the U.S. Number 10.
Yep.
Okay. Ed couldn't find the drumsticks. Then he found them. Number 10 is Missouri. Violent crime rate, 488 per 100,000 people. Property crime rate, 2.3 per 100,000 people. All right. Number 9. California, good old California. Violent crime rate there, 499 per 100,000 people. Property crime rate, 2.343 per 100,000. Number 8. Staying out west, Oregon. Violent crime rate there, 342 per 100,000. And property crime rate, 2.935 per 100,000. Number 7. I found this one kind of interesting. Alaska is number 7.
Huh.
Yeah, they got a lot of crime. Violent crime rate, listen, 759 per 100,000. That's much more than either Oregon, California, or Missouri. Mm. And their property crime rate, it's not as bad as the others. It's 1.789 per 100,000. All right, number 6. This one surprised me as well. Tennessee's
yeah, Tennessee's got problems.
Apparently, yeah. I didn't realize it. I always thought it was, you know, I don't know what I thought, but I never thought of it as dangerous. Violent crime right there, 622 per 100,000 people. Property crime rate, 2.302 per 100,000. Number 5, Washington, that's the state. Violent crime rate, 376 per 100,000. Property crime rate, very high, 3.36 per 100,000. Number 4. To the south, Arkansas. Violent crime rate in Arkansas is 645 per 100,000 people. Property crime rate, 2.452 per 100,000. Number 3. Ski country, where you like to go, Ed. Colorado, violent crime rate there is 492 per 100,000, and property crime rate is 3.15 per 100,000. Number 2, Louisiana. I would imagine most of the trouble is in New Orleans, but the violent crime rate there, 629 per 100,000 people, and property crime rate, 2.75. per 100,000. All right, Ed. I'm going to give you a little hint.
Okay.
The most dangerous state is out west. And we already mentioned California and Oregon and Washington.
See,
so
Utah
you can
was
take
the
those
best.
Out.
I think Utah was number one for
that's
best
right.
State. Let's see. Let's go with. Oh, boy.
I know.
Arizona.
That's a good guess. It's next door to Arizona, though.
Yeah.
It's New Mexico. New Mexico, listen to their violent crime rate in New Mexico, 780 per 100,000. That is the highest of all the states.
Huh.
780, and their property crime rate is 2.99 per 100,000 people. I don't know what it is about New Mexico that would make it so dangerous.
It's a border state.
Do you think that's part of it?
Could be.
Yeah, you may be right. You may be right. All right. Thank you so very much for listening to us. Be careful out there. We'll be back on Wednesday. Meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. It's a key day in Donald Trump's criminal trial. He tried to make his own case before heading into court.
We have records, and they talked about bookkeeping. The only thing down in the bookkeeping is that we call a legal expense a legal expense. We don't call it a construction expense.
His former attorney, Michael Cohen, a crucial prosecution witness, is on the stand. He's told the jury he initially floated the idea of Trump running for president back in 2011, and he participated in a 2015 meeting with the National Enquirer about keeping negative stories about Trump under wraps. CBS's Katrina Kaufman says prosecutors need to establish credibility for Cohen.
They've already raised it themselves before the jury because they know it's going to be such an important point for the defense to bring up, and they really want to do everything they can to bolster Michael Cohen's testimony. I don't think they would put him on the stand if they didn't think that he was going to be honest today, but yes, he does have a history. He has admitted he had previously lied on the stand to a federal judge.
Well, jury selection today in the corruption trial of a member of the United States Senate. CBS's Scott McFarlane has that.
This is going to be a lengthy trial. It's going to last weeks at the federal courthouse in Manhattan. Bob Menendez, a longtime Democrat from New Jersey, is accused of trading official favors in his office to enrich himself and enrich his wife, who's also charged. The feds say they found stacks of cash and gold bars in their house. Menendez has pleaded not guilty and has not ruled out testifying in his own defense.
Israel is pushing deeper into